This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of February of the year 2017, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, verses number 1 and 2. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." The title for this message is Settling for Less Than God's Best, and this is part two of a four-part message. Now, when I left off last month, I was beginning to explain why it is that there is such a dislike for those that are wealthy by those that are middle class and poor. The reason for this rests with the idea that the only way the wealthy got to be like that in their eyes is in the eyes of the poor is because they have in some way stolen from the poor to enrich themselves. This mindset is based primarily on the idea that the wealth of the rich is what is keeping the poor in the state or condition that they are in. If only we could take from the rich and spread the wealth, then that would be fair for all concerned, is what they say. What do you notice about this statement or thought? It shows that these people are looking to man, in this case, the rich, for some type of relief from or betterment of their situation. It is one thing for believers to feel this way, or is one way for unbelievers to feel this way, but totally another for believers to go along with and support it. Because what they are doing is settling for the solutions and explanations that men don't know what, that don't know God, come up with. In a lot of these cases, the wealth that the rich enjoy is the result of them being obedient to God, as I alluded to last month, according to the subject verses, and on down through verse number 14. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, read the first 14 verses of that passage of scripture. And the thing about those scriptures is that they apply to everybody. It doesn't matter if you are wealthy or not, black, white, red, yellow, or purple people eater, male or female, young or old, educated or not. Now get this. If you are willing to be obedient to God as the scriptures say, then you can be wealthy as well. Isaiah chapter number 1 verse number 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8 says, this book of the Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all that is written therein. Now get this part. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Once again, the key is your willingness to obey God. This may sound kind of harsh, but there is a monumental wealth of truth in it, and that is the reason for the poverty and suffering of the vast majority of the poor in this nation, and the world for that matter, is totally their own fault, because they are in rebellion against God. Let me put it this way. It is impossible for anyone that is obedient to God, as the scriptures say, to be poor, destitute, and defeated. The only way this could happen to a believer is if they themselves choose to live like that. And why would they choose to live like this? Because someone has put a guilt trip on them that they are supposed to be poor, because that is what Jesus preached about. And besides, Jesus himself was poor. Oh, really? Even though he didn't own a house or car, or wear a lot of fancy clothes, you never saw him asking someone else for something. Every time he needed something, he had it. Remember when he and his disciples fed over 10,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? And then there were when they were done, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. And Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 through 38. Now the reason why I use, just for a record here, this is a note. The reason why I use the numbers 10,000 above is because the scripture said in the first example, 5,000 men beside women and children, meaning 5,000 men plus women and children. Does that sound like poor to you? The other Gospels of Mark and Luke give similar accounts showing that this happened on more than one occasion. Then we have the example where he was asked if he would pay a tribute or an offering. What did he do? He told Peter to go catch a fish, open its mouth, and get the money to pay the tribute. Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through to the end. Does that sound like poor to you? Remember, according to the examples I gave last month, just because a person doesn't have the money on them but has it in the bank, then they have nothing to worry about. Well, since the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, or in other words, his bank, then Jesus owns and controls everything on, under, and above it. So how is that being poor? Now get this, his disciples, followers or children, benefited from being with him. This means if you are a believer, born again, and you are obedient to him, then you have the same power and authority backing you up as his disciples did. What makes it even better is the fact that you are no longer disciples or followers, but children. And once again, as the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, verse number 6, starting at verse number 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." You want another example? Jesus and his disciples are on a ship when a storm comes up and threatens to destroy the ship and all aboard. Jesus is asleep in the lower level of the ship, and his disciples come down to wake him up because they are, or they were, afraid. Jesus then came up and rebuked the storm, and it died down. Then he told them they had little faith. What this tells us is that he was telling them they didn't need to wake him up. They could have done the same thing themselves. Mark chapter number 4, verses 35 through 41. Or at the very least, they could have rest assured that they would make it to their destination in one piece. Now, the key to this passage of scripture is found in verse number 35, where he says, "Let's go to the other side." When he said that, it set in motion the fact that that was what he was going to do, and nothing was going to stop him because he is in control. Consequently, the disciples had absolutely nothing to worry about because he had spoken it. This means also that if Christ or God has spoken something over your life and you are being obedient to him, then nothing but you yourself can stop it. To put everything into perspective, as I said earlier, the only one standing in the way of your being all that God says you can be is you. And how do you stand in the way? Unbelief, lack of knowledge, settling, or compromise. Each of the above can be likened to the examples of a person having a need and either not having or not knowing that they have available to them the necessary resources to provide that relief that they need. By them being in their situation over a long period of time, in most cases, they take the mindset that this must be the way that they are supposed to live. They have been dealt this hand, so they will have to make the best of it. There is so much wrong with that mindset that it almost borders on insanity, especially if you call yourself a Christian. Look around you. What do you see? You see a world that is going insane. Wars, killings, genocides, rapes, abuse of women, children, and even the elderly. Parents killing their kids, kids killing their parents, and you have men trying to be women and vice versa. You have men marrying men and women marrying women. You have women killing their babies while they are still in the womb. And what does the world do? In far too many instances, they rack it up to statistics, try to find some solution that is equitable to everyone because they don't want to offend. In short, their solutions, if there are any, all center on one thing, and that is finding common ground. Now, if I could go along with that, if the common ground was Jesus Christ, but that is not what they are looking at. They are looking at what they themselves can come up with. Every time they come up with something and try to implement it, it may work for a minute or two, then it will fall apart. Why? Because it takes far more power, knowledge, and wisdom than mankind by himself can come up with, because he can't see past the moment he is in. In other words, You can't make plans for tomorrow if you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. People accept the way things are in their lives because they have tried to make plans for the future without knowing what the future has in store for them. And when things don't work out, they either settle for their condition or go on the offense, trying to inflict injury on pain or pain on those that they see as being the source of their misery. When, as I said, it is mostly their own fault. That is what the ungodly do. And sad to say, a lot of believers fall into that same boat. This is another reason that the believer should study the Bible, for contained within it is all the information one needs to prepare for the present and the future. If a person tells you that tomorrow at 3 a.m. they will break into your house, you will undoubtedly prepare for that occurrence, wouldn't you? Well, by the same token, God has told us what to expect by way of tests, trials, and trouble, and how to prepare for them. That's so that we won't get caught off guard. Preparation is the key to being able to receive and hold on to the best that God has for your life. Because just as sure as in the natural world, someone will try to take from, hurt, injure, or kill you, so too is there an enemy that will seek to do the same thing to you in the spiritual realm of things. And the thing is, nothing that we can do in this physical realm can stop him. It takes someone that has the spiritual equipment to deal with him. The Bible says in St. John chapter 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. But then he says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Take a good look at this scripture. The obvious point being made in the first part is the idea of what the thief is and what they usually have on their mind. However, it also tells us what Christ is here for. The part in all caps where he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, to put this into perspective, the thief that Christ is talking about here is not your average human thief, but rather the spiritual father of all those that are unbelievers, the devil. And herein lies one major fact that the ungodly and a lot of Christians don't grasp, because they have settled for what they are told by others rather than researching or studying the Bible. That fact is, all who want to blame others for their misery are actually blaming the wrong individual or individuals. It is the devil that is behind all of their and our misery, and rather than attack him, the devil, we attack them. Think about it like this. What better way for an enemy to get the better of us than to get us to not know that he is there causing our problems and getting us to focus on one another, another person, group, or nation? Well, time is up, space is up for this particular part. We will continue on in this message. Like I said, this is part two of a 4-part message, so I'm not going to do a commentary on this yet. I'm going to wait till we get to the end before I make a commentary on it. So we'll get into more of this next month. So in closing, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry saying, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together for part number 3 of this series or any of the other messages that I have audio versions of. I don't have them on all of the tracks that are on the track list yet. If the Lord is willing, I will do so. It's going to take some time, but that's just to let you know. Like I say, I can't make plans for tomorrow necessarily because I don't know what God has in store for me. I just know what the Lord has given me leave to do, and I'm trying to do that for the sole purpose of helping someone. So until then, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time. Good day.